1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. We are continuing our study of the epistle of 1 Corinthians, and we are still in the piece of the epistle in which Paul is dealing with specific issues in the Corinthian church. To this point, we've dealt with divisions based upon leadership. We've dealt with sexual immorality. We've dealt with the Lord's Supper, and now we are on to competition regarding spiritual gifts. Everything that could go wrong in Corinth seemingly was going wrong. And you know the enemy loves to take good things and help us make them bad things? You ever found that to be true? The enemy loves to take good things and help us make them into bad things. All the things that we've talked about to this point in our study of the Corinthian church are essentially good things. It is good to have great leaders at a church. Sex is a good thing created by God. The Lord's Supper is an institution that was given to us by Christ himself. All of these things are very good things, but if we are not careful, we will allow our sinful nature to pervert good things, of course, with the help of the enemy, and make them into not good things. And we do this in one of two ways. We can take secondary things and make them primary things. Things that were meant to point us to the Lord. Things that were given to us by God to enjoy them. Find satisfaction in that joy and then turn that satisfaction back to him in glorious worship. But we stop at the secondary things and do not give God the glory and credit for giving them to us. One thing that comes to mind that was in the paper today was sports. Isn't it amazing how much we worship sports? To the point where some people in Houston showed up on Matt Schaub's doorstep and began to ridicule him because of his bad play the past few weeks, harassing him. Isn't that crazy? They had to call the Houston police to get them away from him and protect him, all because he had a couple of bad games, or a few bad games, or four bad games for the Houston Texans. Now, why would someone ever come to the point where they would threaten physical harm to a quarterback of a football team? Football is a fun thing. Sports are a fun thing. They are a morally neutral thing that God gave us to enjoy. And yet, when we make them more than a secondary thing and give them the position of a primary thing, we sin. We take good things, we make them bad things. When we put them in the wrong perspective. Another way that we do this is that we take and pervert secondary things in order to satisfy our sinful desire to be more like God. We take things that God meant to enable us to worship him, and we turn them around in order to have people worship us because of them. That's what happened with spiritual gifts in Corinth. God gave the church spiritual gifts in order to edify, build up the church, to help us accomplish the purpose of the church, which is to proclaim the gospel to all nations and build the kingdom of God, restoring which was broken by the fall. God gave them spiritual gifts in order to accomplish that. And what happened in Corinth is that they began to elevate certain spiritual gifts over another. And they began to see people with certain spiritual gifts as superior to others. And the people with these spiritual gifts embraced this view of superiority and invited people to worship them as greater than they were. Because all of us inherently in our sinful nature want to be like God. Let me give you a quote by a guy named Mark Dever, who's a pastor up in Washington, D.C. If the act of trying to shove God off the throne is, by its very nature, an act of trying to place ourselves upon it, and that is sin, then we are not about to let some other human being take it from us. Adam's act of breaking fellowship with God resulted in an immediate break in fellowship among all human beings. And that sinful rebellion entices us to find ways in which we are superior to other people, to point out our superiority to other people, and then call those people who we deem inferior around us to worship us as if we are God. worship that is due God alone, we invite for ourselves. And my friends, that is a very dangerous place to be. And the reason is because you and I were not created to be worshiped in the way that God is worshiped. You and I cannot handle the kind of worship that God's character demands. And you see this throughout history. Think of any single person that has had extreme popularity and how their humanity has been limited in being able to handle it. Think about Michael Jackson. Perhaps no greater superstar on the planet in the history of mankind. He was worshipped around the world, and his humanity, the frailty of his humanity, could not handle the worship that he was given. Why? Because God never created Michael Jackson to be worshipped. His depravity could not handle the acclaim and accolades of all of mankind. No, because all of that was meant to be for God. You and I were created to worship God. And every single tongue of every single person that has ever existed from the beginning of the creation until Jesus comes back is meant to be used in the proclamation of the glory of God. When that worship is directed anywhere else, it is sinful and it is dangerous. Not only to the people who give false proclamation and praise to people who do not deserve it, but for the very people themselves, because we are not made for that kind of worship. We are made to worship. Worship is meant for God. And for your own protection, it's good to remember that. The Corinthian church forgot this. The Corinthians had taken a good thing, spiritual gifts, and made it about themselves. They ranked gifts in order of greatest importance rather than seeing them all as essential and valuable. They began seeing the gifts as a way to compete against each other to gain greater and greater power in the kingdom of that church instead of seeing it as a way to build God's church in order to build his kingdom. And the challenge for us is the same challenge that Paul gave to the Corinthian church back then. We must guard the gifts God has given us, not allowing them to become weapons of unrighteousness, but rather weapons of righteousness, as Paul writes in Romans 6, which leads us to our major point tonight. Spiritual gifts are to be used in the right way at the right time. Spiritual gifts are to be used in the right way and at the right time. And you begin to see Paul outline this truth in the first few verses of chapter 12. Let's begin in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another this working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So what I want to do tonight is look over chapters 12 to 14 of 1 Corinthians, building upon what we just read, to answer this question. How do we use the gifts properly? How do we use the gifts properly in order to honor the Lord and to worship him? Now notice here, from your major point, that this question assumes the use of spiritual gifts. You are expected to serve the church. If you are a follower of Christ, If the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence within you, then you have a spiritual gift, probably multiple ones of them. And those spiritual gifts are meant to build up the body of Christ of which you are a part and the greater body of Christ which seeks to build the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Every believer is filled with the Spirit and given gifts to be used. There's not a question of if they should be used, it's a question of how they should be used. If you are not helping to build the body of Christ using the unique giftings that God has given to you, then you are walking in sinfulness. Apathy, laziness, and idolatry are serious sins against the Lord and prevent us from serving His church properly. And all of those things are very prevalent in the church today. Now think about what an offense that is to God who has so richly given us these incredible gifts. If we sit back and do not use them, I'm reminded of the first car I received from my parents. Remember the first car you received? It's a big day, right? When you get your first car, it's independence. I actually was 15. Yikes, right? 15 years old, I was the last year that in Louisiana you could drive at the age of 15. I turned 15 on December the 4th, and the law changed that you had to be 16 January 1. And I threw it in the face of half of the classmates in my class at high school that we got to drive and they did not. But I remember on my birthday getting a black Dodge Avenger coupe sports car. And I just knew my life was about to change. I was going to be a ladies' man because they all wanted to ride my car. I could take them places. I had freedom. Now imagine if my parents, sacrificing all they sacrificed to give me this car, imagine if I said to my parents, listen guys, I'm so thankful that you gave me this car. It is a beautiful car. It's an awesome car. And then I just let it sit in the driveway for years on end. How would that sit with my parents, who paid a lot of money to get me that car? They wouldn't like it very much, would they? Why? Because it was a gift to me, to be used by me, to be a blessing to me. And the expectation in giving me the gift was that I would use it, that I would take advantage of what they had given me. In a similar sense, with greater implications, the Lord has given you a gifting to be able to build His church. And it is offensive to ignore the gifting that God has given you and not use it. But unfortunately, our church today, not necessarily Champion Forest, but generally the church in America, does not function properly in this way. The sad reality is that many in the church today are apathetic. They do not care about anything but themselves generally. And so they come and they take, but they never serve. They want the benefits of the church, but they do not want to serve the church. Because my concern is about me first and foremost, not about helping to build the church. Or we're just lazy. We don't want to add to our already very hectic schedules by taking on another thing. And we forget that our most important job on the planet is to build the church for the glory of God. Or we've committed ourselves to idolatry, valuing other things higher than the church, and we sacrifice involvement with the body of Christ for the sake of gaining a promotion, seeing our kids be successful on a ball field, and any other kind of earthly accolades that we can proclaim at the expense of serving the church for the glory of God. And in some ways, this is the danger of success. You know, when churches are successful, people tend to settle down and don't feel the need or see the need as much to sacrifice for the sake of growing the church globally. But I want to challenge you guys tonight. Do not let success be an enemy to your obedience to the Lord. Do not assume just because things are going well at Champion Forest that if all of us stop serving, that it will continue. Yes, we are the beneficiaries of a great legacy of men and women who have served the Lord faithfully, but we must continue to serve the Lord faithfully if we are to accomplish all the great things that God has for us in the future. The timeline of Christianity is not one that dwells in the past. No, God is continually moving us forward into greater things. And He is calling all of us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, to be raised up to accomplish the new things that God has for us. And if we keep sitting on past success, we will miss the glory of God's future promises. Use the spiritual gifts for the glory of God. Do not be overcome by apathy. Do not fall victim to laziness. Do not give your lives to idolatry. Use the gift of God that He has given to you to build His church. So, how do we do this? How do we use the gifts properly, using them in the right way and at the right time? Well, Paul outlines for us the answer to this question in these three chapters that we're covering tonight in 1 Corinthians. The first thing that we must do is we must submit fully to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We must submit fully to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of all the gifts. Verse 11 of chapter 12, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. The Holy Spirit is the author of all the gifts and distributes them sovereignly as is best for the church. The question, though, is how do you and I know what gift He has given us and how indeed He wants us to use them if we are not walking in alignment with the Spirit of God? We must seek to abide in the Spirit of God to know which gift He has given us and how He desires us to use it. Which means a couple of things for us. Number one, we must remove distractions that promote sinfulness and selfishness in our lives. When you and I embrace sin, when you and I embrace selfishness in our lives, it blinds us to the proximity of the Holy Spirit in our life, and it deadens our ability to be sensitive to His movements over our lives. In ministry, you often have people come into your office and say, Jared, I just do not know what the will of God is. I feel like I'm not hearing the Lord speak to me anymore. And when anyone comes into my office and they verbalize a phrase like that, the first thing I always ask them is, how is your holiness? How are you doing in holiness? Because if you're not walking in holiness and you're allowing sinfulness or selfishness to invade your life, then you are deadening your ability to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because our ability to sense the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives is directly proportional to our purity. Purity gives you the position of knowing your proximity to the Holy Spirit of God. So the question for you tonight, if you don't sense the Holy Spirit in your life, if you don't feel like you're hearing the Lord speak or you don't know what gift God has given you is there anything in your life that would prevent you from hearing His voice clearly? Are you embracing something that is at odds with embracing the Lord? If so, that war within you will prevent you from abiding in Christ to the extent that He wants you to abide. This is certainly true in Corinth, where they embraced several sinful things and several selfish things that prohibited them from testing the spirits, following false teachers who were promoting themselves over Christ. And that's why Paul so vehemently teaches them against such practices. Is it true in your life? Number two, not only must I remove distractions and that promote sinfulness and selfishness, I must also renew my mind through the revealed word of God. It's part of the Christian discipline. You and I live in a fallen world, and the enemy has poured lie after lie after lie into our minds to blind us from the truth of God's word. And so you and I must counteract those lies by ingesting on a daily basis the word of God, to renew our minds, to understand what indeed the purpose of our life is, to remind us that there are greater things in life than the fleeting pleasures this world has to offer. We must continually renew our mind in the word of God. And thirdly, we must seek godly counsel. The Holy Spirit often speaks through godly people around you to help you know what it is that you are to do with your spiritual gifts. So how do you submit fully to the Holy Spirit? Remove distractions, seek to renew your mind through the written word of God, and then thirdly, seek godly counsel. Let other people who walk with the Lord speak into your life when you have questions. That's why they're there. That's why the church exists. That's why we are here, to build each other up, because we're imperfect knowers. And the Holy Spirit can use people around you to encourage you. So the first thing that we must know in order to use our gifts properly is that we must submit fully to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, we must be careful to use the gifts God has given us in great humility. These gifts that God has given us were not given to make much of me, but rather to make much of the Lord. And in the Corinthian church, the big deal here was the gift of tongues. They had become obsessed with the gift of tongues. And so anyone who had the gift of tongues was seen as kind of a celebrity, to the point where anyone else who had any other gift felt inferior. So the people who had the gift of tongues were elevated to a kind of superstar status, and everyone else around them were jealous of that gift. And look how Paul addresses this directly in chapter 13. Now, some of you are very familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. It may have been read at your wedding. But the purpose of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is far greater than just simply talking about love. It's a testimony and declaration of the sufficiency of the greatest gift of the Spirit, which is, of course, love. And here's what Paul says, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And here's what Paul is saying. It is ridiculous to compete over gifts like tongues and prophecy, because those things are temporary things. Those things are given to us because we are imperfect people, and there will come a time where they will not even be needed. How can you as the church sit around and proclaim the greatness of certain spiritual gifts when there will come a time where they won't even be needed in light of the glory and greatness of God? See what the gifts are for. see that prophecy is given because we do not know the fullness of God on our own. We need people around us to help us interpret the word of God, to make clear for us the will of God. We need tongues right now because there are people all around the world who do not know the word of God in their own language, and the Holy Spirit can use them to proclaim to them the greatness and the glory of God. But there will come a time where those things will not be needed because God will make himself known fully. There will be no more questions about what his will is, and every knee and every tongue will bow and confess the glory of God the Father. Don't compete over gifts. Rather, remember the greatest thing that God has given to you, and that is the ability to love. You are able to love because God first loved you, and that's a thing that will not pass away. In eternity, we will love the Lord. We will express our love for the Lord in eternal worship. We will also love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't compete over temporary things. Rest in eternal things. Keep your gifts in perspective. And that will allow you to remain humble as you use them. Because ultimately, which one is more important? What a prideful thing to say that my gift is greater than your gift when both can be used for the glory of God. I read an article today about a guy named Bert Elliott, who was the brother of Jim Elliot. Many of you know the story of Jim Elliot, right? One of the greatest missionaries in our history. Of course, Jim was called to the mission field. It's an amazing story that you've probably heard before. As Jim's education continued in the seminary, he became convinced of God's will and purpose for his life to push back the darkness in the world by preaching the gospel where it had never been preached before. So he began his preparations to spend the rest of his life sharing the gospel with the previously unreached people of Ecuador, known as the Auca. And Elliot, along with four other missionaries, began making contact with the indigenous people through a loudspeaker and a basket to lower gifts from their airplane. And after several friendly encounters, they made plans to visit the people they thought they had befriended. But on January 8th, 1956, the missionaries were attacked and killed by a group of 10 warriors from the people they were trying to share the gospel with. And Elliot's body was found downstream in the river along with those other men. His life, purpose, and vision was immortalized by his journal entry for October 28, 1949, which expressed his belief that mission work was more important than his life. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose," is a quote from his journal. An amazing story. His wife Elizabeth not only published two books about her husband, but continued the work among the very people who had killed her husbands. And that group of people heard about Jesus because of his sacrifice. And then there's Bert, Jim's brother. Any of you ever heard about Bert before? I hadn't either until I read this article. Jim's story is a familiar one. But by God's grace, I have now heard of Bert, thanks to a message by Randy Alcorn 50 years after the man died on the beach in Ecuador. Bert is Jim Elliott's older brother. He's the one who isn't famous. He was a student at Winona Bible College in 1949, and he and his young wife were invited by a missionary to come to Peru and join the work there. Other than occasional furlough, there they have stayed. Now in their 80s, they are still there. According to Alcorn, if you Google Bert, you find less than 70 entries. But over the years, Bert and Colleen have planted more than 170 churches. And when asked to reflect on his brother Jim, Bert's response is stirring. "My brother Jim and I took different paths. He was a great meteor streaking through the sky. Bert was not. He did not go streaking through the sky. Nobody lined up with their telescopes to watch his life. Instead, as Alcorn puts it, he was the faint star of the distance that faithfully rises night after night, always there, always faithful, always doing the same quote-unquote boring thing." Let me ask you this question. Which Elliot brother is more important to the kingdom of God? Jim or Bert? Both. Both are equally important to the movement of the kingdom of God over the earth. So my encouragement to you tonight is this. Number one, don't envy other gifts. See the benefit of your own gift in humility. And secondly, in humility, use your gift for the glory of God. Put it on the table every day so that God may use you to build his kingdom. And if you were Jim and you get recognized for it, be careful not to let that go to your head. But give the glory back to the Lord. Point people to where that glory and worship is due. But if you're Bert, don't become resentful because you have not been recognized, because your claim, your favor is not from man, but from God who sees all things. Finally, not only must we submit fully to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not only must we be careful to use the gifts in great humility, we must always use the gifts for the edification of the church. The edification of the church. The gifts always, always, always are meant to build up the church. And let me just make a very bold but truthful declaration over you tonight. Anytime a spiritual gift causes confusion in the church, it is not being used of the Lord. Because as Paul writes in chapter 14, verse 33, our God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. In particular, in Corinth, the issue was tongues. And people were getting up, and they were just spouting off different tongues. And Paul says, what benefit is that to the church? How does getting up and speaking in some unknown language truly build up the church? All that does is cause confusion. And so if you get up and you start speaking in tongues, and there's no interpreter to come up and clarify the confusion that you have introduced into the church, then do not do it. Sit down. Because you are not operating in the Holy Spirit of God. And then secondly, he says, why are you doing it in the church in the first place? Tongues are not meant to edify the church, to build up the church. Tongues are for lost people. Tongues are for the lost. Prophecy is used to build up the church. So be sure that you are using your gift in the right way, at the right time, to build up the church in the way that God designed the gift to build up the church. It's a dangerous thing. I remember when I was young, my aunt and uncle were United Pentecostal. And I'm still young, is that what you said? I ain't as young as I once was. I'm talking young, young. And I remember my aunt and uncle were United Pentecostal, and I went to an event with them. It's called Youthquake. And I remember vividly this man began speaking in tongues and then falling on the floor in convulsions and moving around and knocking over things. And guys, I got to tell you, I was freaked out. There was no affirmation in me that this was of the Spirit. Even as a young child, I left. Overwhelmed by the confusion of that moment. And looking back on it now, I recognize that whether or not this man's intentions were good to glorify the Lord, he was not honoring the Lord in that moment for two reasons. Number one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The Spirit of God does not manifest itself in one way at one time, and in a different way in another. He is the same always and forever. So if your spiritual gift is not being exercised in self-control, it is not of the Lord, according to Galatians 5. Secondly, he engendered confusion in that moment. So let us be careful in any denomination, at any time, as long as we are proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that any time we stand up to use the gift that God has given us, that we be sure it is for the sole purpose of building up the church. And that it brings about clarity and peace. And remember, the peace in the Bible is not just an absence of conflict, but a set rightness. That we are adding to the set rightness of creation and putting forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our gifts are meant to add to that set rightness in our church as the church adds to the set rightness or peace around the world. And if our gifts are not being used to that end, they are not being used properly. Chapter 14, verse 26. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. All things be done for building up. So, know your gifts. Know the gifts that God has given you. But beyond that, use your gifts and build His church. So how should we respond tonight? Number one, what are your spiritual gifts? If you don't know them, there's an inventory available on our website. All you got to do is go Google spiritual gift inventory, and I promise you, 100 will pop up. But basically, let me ask you this question. What makes you come alive in service to the Lord? Do you come alive greeting people as they walk through the door? You probably have the gift of hospitality. Do you come alive when you get to dive into the Word of God and teach the Word of God? You probably have the gift of teaching or wisdom. Do you speak truth into people and you like speaking truth into people, hopefully with grace? You probably have the gift of prophecy. Do you like counting numbers, like Lee Harn? You probably have the gift of administration. Think about what it is that makes you come alive when you get to use it to serve the Lord. That's probably your spiritual gift. Figure out how God has wired you to serve Him and then use it. Know your gift. Are you using them? Secondly, do you use the gifts God has given you for the good of the church or for your own good? We have to be very careful not to use the church to get the very same things that we want just from a different source. Here's what I mean by that, and you've heard me say this before. If your desire is to have people applaud you for your vocal abilities and you can't make it on American Idol or The Voice, and so you say, hey, I'll just go try out for the praise team. They have to accept me because they're the church and they have to tell me to my face that I'm good even though I'm probably not. That's not using your gifting for the glory of God. That's using your gifting for your own glory. Be careful that you don't do that. Be careful you don't turn to the church to find acclaim where you can't find acclaim anywhere else. The purpose of serving in the church is to build the church for the glory of God. Let that be your motivation for serving. And finally, are you walking under the direction of the Spirit in humility?
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.
Champion Forest is located in Northwest Houston, and we have a place for you. Whether you are single, raising a family, or enjoying retirement, our parking ministry will guide you in and help you park. Once inside, our greeters will welcome you at the door and help you find your way. These are ways we make a large church feel small. Another way is through the numerous ministries we have available for all ages. Champion Forest, making sense out of life through Christ-centered living.